All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Notorious RAD. I know you're seeing this for the first time ever. You're seeing our faces, and we are here in different places too.
We're really four hours apart.
Yeah. I'm your host.
He's about 4 hours from you.
Yeah. I'm your host, Aaron Lewis, joined today by Dakota Smith. Dakota, go ahead and give a wave. And Riley Funk. We are going to bring to you a Thanksgiving special, but quickly we're going to run through and find out where everybody's at. Like I said, I'm Aaron Lewis. I'm your host, and I am currently in Jefferson City, Missouri, not in Atchison, Kansas, which is quite a few hours away. Dakota, where are you at?
I'm in the metropolis of St. John, Kansas, about 1,200 people at my mom and dad's house for Thanksgiving this weekend, so. It should be Riley. Fun.
You already know where I am. I'm in A-town. Actually, I'm at home, so I'm about 20 minutes outside of town. But I'm in the county, so haven't left.
All right. Well, as everybody knows, it's Thanksgiving. We're gonna keep it a pretty quick, short, and sweet episode today. But we've got quite a few things to talk about. I mean, the golf. We've got some golf stuff to talk about. Bryson DeChambeau, right?
Yes, good job.
And Brooks Koepka.
He got it right. I am so proud of him.
I'm out here. And I mean, we're gonna give it a little bit of an update on Tiger Woods, on how he's doing, and talk about the new college football playoff rankings and how those games are gonna go those games for the four top teams are gonna go this week. It is rivalry week in the NCAA, and then give our guesses and how things are going to go in the NFL for our three Thanksgiving Day games. So we're going to go ahead, get started. And all right, I'm going to let these two guys take over because I know absolutely nothing about golf. And we're going to hear about Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka.
Well,
all right. So it's going to be good.
I'll let you set the stage and I'll just be that guy.
Yeah. So the feud. The feud will be settled on Black Friday. Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. For those of you that haven't been paying attention to any sort of golf whatsoever, just take a look at Twitter. It's been firing up the last couple of days, but these are two of the best players in the entire world playing the game of golf, and it's in a match. It's not for any like big trophy except bragging rights. And you got on one end the science nerd, Bryson DeChambeau. And then you got on the other side, Brooks Koepka is just his own thing. So
golf's frat guy, Brooks Koepka. Yeah.
And I got the merch for old Brooks and DeChambeau. So it'll be fun.
That doesn't shock anyone that you bought that t-shirt.
I also got Brooks Koepka's hat from
I forgot to wear my Bryson hat. I apologize.
Dakota.
Got it. It's 4 hours away. They're going to be playing at the Wynn Golf Course in Las Vegas. From the pictures I've seen, this course is absolutely beautiful. Mm. Normally, these golf courses they carve into the desert are just absolutely immaculate, and I would expect nothing less out of this one, too. But yeah. I'm going to touch on this just a little bit. I think they kind of missed the boat on this. I think they should have done this sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Because after all the Brooks and Bryson wanted to be paired together at the Ryder Cup, I feel like the feud things kind of went away a little bit. And we saw that, you know, they can get along. They just choose not to.
But it'll be cool to see, I think we'll get the inside scoop of the feud. I think they've low key been friends this entire time. And they're just trying to hype it up. But I think it'll be cool. We're going to be inside the ropes with those guys. And Phil Mickelson is going to be also, commentating as well.
That is going
to be awesome.
Phil is incredible on the mic.
And, oh yeah,
that'll be interesting to see. I just think this is gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I said at the beginning that I know nothing about golf, and that still stands true. But I do know about Phil Mickelson, and I know that man is he reminds me a lot of Tony Romo in the way that he Tony watches football and he can call out how it's going to go before it even happens. And the thing that I've come to learn about with Phil, because I mean, I watch golf every now and again. I mean, who doesn't? But Phil is ready and knows so much about the guys who are on the course that he doesn't struggle in any way. Like, he knows exactly what type of thing that they need to do because of how good he was when he played. And I mean, he still plays.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cause they
reigning PGA champion.
Yeah. There's times when he, a couple times when he missed the cut or he got in late at Pebble, they'd bring him in for the final round at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
And they let him do about an hour or so with Nance. And Faldo should be worried about his job whenever Phil Mickelson decides he doesn't want to play golf anymore.
Did you say Nance as in Jim Nance?
Yeah.
Jim Nance is the best golf commentator on the planet, and it's not even close.
Not
even close.
No, we're talking about the same Jim Nance that does football.
Yes, the same Jim Nance.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all CBS. It's all CBS there. But I do agree with you, Dakota. It would be interesting to see if he could like work with Nance. But if he keeps hitting bombs like he's been hitting, I mean, he's not going to be retiring or
he's not even a year removed from a PGA championship. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, he'll be playing for a while. And we've already seen him. He's dominated the senior tour. I think the stat was he's won like 3 or 4 times in his 6 starts.
Yeah. He's been pretty good. Yeah. But the other thing in golf right now, over the weekend, the internet broke. Dakota, let's get into it. Tiger swing. Let's talk about it.
It looks as good as it always has. Tiger. Do we expect anything less?
No.
He's Tiger Woods.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the comeback.
When you're in that good a shape, I feel like he is advanced age for a professional golfer, but it's not like he's like super old by any means. Like we knew Tiger was going to put in the work to get back playing.
I didn't think he'd be back ready to go this fast though. Go ahead.
Oh no, I didn't expect either. I fully did not expect him to be back this early. You and I had talked before we were thinking like, you know, maybe one of those California swing events, like either at Torrey Pines or at Riviera. We had kind of talked about that. And those are late January, early February. Like, I didn't see him coming back wanting to play PNC. But if you think about it, that's a really good event for him to get back in because he's playing with his son. He doesn't have to be super competitive. It just gets him back into a competitive setting I think it's going to tell him kind of where he's at.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can use it as a barometer to where – I think for his health, I think it's a good barometer to see where he's at.
I would be interested in seeing how many tickets will be sold if Tiger does end up saying, hey, me and Charlie are going to come play in PNC. Because not only would that just – that place would be completely filled with people to go watch Tiger and the heir to the throne Charlie's playing good golf too. I mean,
his swing the Wood
family –
his swing is beautiful for his age.
Yes, it's good.
He has an immaculate golf swing for his age.
And one of the things.
Also, again, do we expect anything less? He's the son of the greatest golfer ever.
No. Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, think about it. Tiger Woods is the type of person that he's been known for the past, 2 generations now? Guys who were – he's 47 years old and still going out there and putting up a fantastic fight against guys who are, you know – in their early and mid 20s. You know what I'm saying?
All I'm saying is if Tiger gets in contention in a major now, I wouldn't want any of that smoke because that Tiger in a major is completely different than any other golfer.
By the way, if you're feeling fun, Riley, Tiger's 35-1 to win the Masters.
Hey, you know what? We'll see if he plays it if he plays before then.
I think if he plays a couple events and he looks good, that number will be like half of that by the time we get to Augusta. If he's playing, if he comes back and plays well.
All I'm saying is we're talking about this now and it's right around the corner. So we'll keep our eye on that to be sure. But Tiger's back. I'm just saying it. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to watch the comeback.
So we'll kind of close this out. You're picking Brooks, right?
I am picking Brooks all the way, man.
Well, we all know who I'm picking. I'm picking Bryson, so we'll get to have that fun talk on. That'll be next week.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, hey, golf is a lot of fun. I've always been wanting to try it, and, you know, maybe one day the three of us could go out and Riley, that would make the greatest internet.
That would make a great video. Riley, right? Teaches Aaron how to golf.
Hey, I've got the drive down. I just don't know if I can do anything else.
I bet you he has the biggest baseball swing on planet Earth.
Oh yeah.
You know what? It's actually damn near a hockey swing from a slap shot. That
doesn't shock me either. So
hey, when you played baseball and hockey, it's hard. Sports are hard, okay?
Like playing baseball and golf. They don't
exactly.
But they correlate, you know, when you're old or older, and a lot of baseball players switch to golf.
Yeah. But, you know, there's also been a lot of big stuff happening in college football lately. We have a new college football playoff ranking. Georgia is still sitting on top of the world at number one. And number two, the number two spot comes in at with Ohio State sitting at 10-1. Three is Alabama, the Crimson Tide, at 10-1. And sitting in the final spot for the college football ranking playoffs would be the Cincinnati at 11-0. So, you know, we talked about it last week, and, you know, I don't have my hat on today, but hats off to Dakota with his hot take saying that Cincinnati was going to make it into the top four. So, you know, maybe I should just let Dakota run this episode.
Oh, you know. I mean, I was getting really scared after Ohio State beat Michigan State 56-7, but then we get to the night and Utah is just all over Oregon in the first half. That game was over at halftime.
Oh, absolutely.
And Utah took that punt back to end the half, and you game over. There was no
Pac-12.
Way.
Pac-12. Boo, Pac-12.
You can't even say that. No. You can't say boo. Utah was
good too.
Like, Utah was what, number five in the rankings last year?
Utah was up there last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they have been good the past 4 or 5 years lately and just haven't had the push that they needed to get into the playoffs, get those big bowl games, and make the, you know,
I mean,
get
the opportunity. We all thought Oregon was a fraud, right? I mean, they had already lost a Stanford. I don't know how they were the number three team in the country to begin with.
Oh, no, I completely agree. I don't think at all that they just aren't – they weren't that team that they were last year. I definitely think that the team – that Oregon team last year was – they were a powerhouse. They were so dominant over in the Pac-12 and didn't – I mean, they didn't really have to try all that much to pull out big victories. And, you know, this year
– the Oregon we used to know and love is not as dominant as that old Oregon was. Like, the Marcus Mariota Oregon teams
were probably the best
they had.
And, I mean, unfortunately, right now they're having to solely, like, rely on their defense to pull them out of games and make sure that they bring in Ws. And, I mean, I hate to say that out loud because, like, Oregon, like I said, Oregon has been historically pretty good. Yeah. But trying to put all the weight on Thibodeau to get back to the quarterback and make plays, that's just so much. Yeah.
And that's no slight. The comment to Mariota is no slight to Justin Herbert either. Justin Herbert's a great – he's a great NFL quarterback. Marcus Mariota was – a great college quarterback that didn't translate, his skill set didn't translate to the NFL.
Absolutely. It makes sense. I mean, the guy had a Heisman Trophy to show for it too.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it kind of hurts to know that Oregon just kind of died
in
last week's game. But I mean, at the end of the day, it was we saw who the better team was. Yeah. And that was not even a question about it. But it is rivalry week in college football this week. It is probably damn near everyone's favorite week of the year besides bowl week. I mean, and conference championship week. But
I mean, there's a lot there's a lot of shakeup that happens this week, and
absolutely,
a lot of things that can happen. I mean, we'll talk about it, but probably one of the best games on the calendar of the entire year is happening Saturday.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since that game has meant anything.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think definitely it is Michigan Ohio State.
Yeah, it'll be. This is going to be the biggest game I think of the year. This makes the playoff. I mean, if Ohio State loses, this completely changes everyone's playoff look or the playoff picture. I mean, Ohio State's always been there.
Yeah,
and Michigan's sitting. They're both 10-1 right now, and this is a do or die game. Michigan's at 5 in the CFP. So whoever wins this will take 4 without a doubt, and that person's going to the conference championship game.
Okay, crazy scenario. Michigan beats Ohio State, but then Michigan proceeds to lose in the Big Ten championship game. Does that vault Ohio State back up?
Yeah, the committee will pick Ohio State.
I think it'll depend. I think it'll depend because, yes, in my head, it makes sense that they would flip. Like, they would basically flip if Alabama and Cincinnati win. I think Alabama and Cincinnati move up 2 and 3, and Ohio State would move to 5, and Michigan would move into the 4 spot. But on the other side of it, like, what happens if Notre Dame and Oklahoma State decide to go out and win this week? Can you find precedence of a reason to put Ohio State at 5? And let's say, like you said, use the scenario that Michigan loses in the conference championship game. Can you be okay with putting Ohio State back in?
Well, here's the big wrench in things. Two-loss Ohio State won't get in front of two-loss Alabama.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do you think
that's coming? Think honestly here. That's coming with the full stance that Georgia beats Alabama.
And I don't. That's one of the things I don't know. I mean, it's gonna be Alabama. It's gonna be Alabama Georgia conference championship game, right?
We're all in the agreement that it's either Alabama or Georgia gonna win the national championship, right? It's one.
Absolutely.
What if
it's one of those two schools? It's them two, and it's nobody. It's them two against the field.
Yeah, I would think so. I think Georgia's looked as good as any. Like, it's not like the same thing as like Joe Burrow's year. Like, everyone knew LSU was that good, but I think Georgia's defense really sets the bar on like any other team. I mean, they're holding it down.
Legit.
The big question is though, I know we're overlooking this Alabama-Auburn game, but what if Bo Nix decides to have some of that magic and like Alabama gets upset? Who takes then? Let's say Ohio State and Alabama lose. Who's in the playoff then? I mean, this weekend's going to change everything.
That's why this weekend is so important. Like,
yeah.
But, okay.
Oklahoma State still has to beat Oklahoma to even have a shot. And that's going to be a really good game too.
Like I completely agree. That rivalry could go down in history as one of the greatest rivalries of college football history ever.
It's considered one of the greatest rivalry games.
And I mean, college
football.
And the one big monkey wrench you throw into that game is the fact that who is starting at quarterback? You're playing Oklahoma State, your biggest rival. Are you playing Caleb Williams or are you playing Spencer Rattler?
It's got to be Caleb Williams.
I mean,
I think it has.
I would say Caleb Williams. I mean, Spencer Rattler. I mean, we know this. Spencer Rattler is not really that much of a team player. I mean,
he's not. He's not that guy.
No, he's not. He's going to transfer. I mean, Caleb Williams. This is his team the next year. I mean, unless Spencer Rattler decides he wants to have a Jalen Hurts type moment. You know, like Jalen Hurts helped lead a comeback charge in the SEC championship game against Georgia a couple years ago. I mean, if he has something like that, I don't know, but I guess we're going to figure that out.
I mean, I don't think Spencer Rattler's that type of player. You can see even now in the NFL, the way that Jalen Hurts is, he is, I mean, yeah, he's what, a This is his first or second year in the NFL.
I think second year in the NFL,
and he's already taking rookies like Devontae Smith under his wing, trying to get them incorporated into the offense and showing them the ways of what the NFL is.
And he's familiar with Devontae Smith, correct? Was Devontae Smith at Alabama?
Yeah.
Devontae Smith was the one who caught the touchdown to win the national championship.
Shows you how much.
That's right. That was Tua. He threw it to Tua. Threw it to him though.
But still, I mean, Jalen was a starting quarterback for the majority of the game.
Yeah.
But I mean, this week has been. I mean, Cincinnati's going to win. Can we all agree on that? Cincinnati's playing Eastern Carolina.
This won't be anything. The real test will be Houston in the AAC in the American game.
Yeah.
Agreed. Georgia's going to destroy Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, I mean, the only two games that really, really matter in these top four games are Ohio State versus Michigan, Alabama at Auburn. And I think the one hardest thing that's going to be for both of the two teams that are in the rankings is that they are not playing at home.
Big road games. I think Ohio State going to Ann Arbor, this is setting up for like Jim Harbaugh's coronation into the college football playoff. I mean, there's a lot of talk. Should they fire him because he has underperformed as a coach? I mean, they always end up being 9-2 or 8-3, but this is like the one year that this is their shot and this is setting it up. And in the contract too, if Harbaugh beats Ohio State, he gets a bonus. So this would be like just the cherry on top. I honestly don't know what's going to happen in this game. It's going to be a good game. Ohio State's offense is unbelievable. I mean,
Last week. I mean, I can't even think of what their quarterback's name is off the top of my head, but
CJ Stroud.
Yeah, he threw what, 7 touchdowns in the first half, or 6 touchdowns in the first half threw a touchdown every play or every drive of the first half of the game. Like, who does that
against a very, very good Michigan?
Joe Burrow did that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, but
Joe Burrow was the number one overall pick and is starting quarterback in the NFL now. So,
yeah.
I'm just saying, Joe Burrow was that guy.
We just talk about Joe Burrow's receiving core, though, when he was at LSU.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That Joe Burrow, that receiving core and for the 2019 LSU Tigers was incredible. There was no – look at them now. Ja'Marr Chase, starting wide receiver. Justin Jefferson, starting wide receiver. I mean, Thaddeus Moss. Yeah, he's not in the NFL, but he quite possibly was one of the most dominant tight ends in the entire college football for the past couple of years.
Clyde Edwards-Hilaire in the backfield really
was fantastic.
And the third wide receiver was Terrace Marshall, who plays for the Panthers now. So
yeah, like these guys, he had some of the greatest players that have walked the planet to play college football currently. And I mean, but that Ohio State team is something different. And I definitely don't think that they're not anywhere near as good as that team. And like, I don't want anyone to think that's what I'm saying, because that 2019 LSU team was, in my personal opinion, the second best team to ever play college football. I mean, I think
behind which Alabama?
2020. I think that 2020 team
you're stroking his ego over there by.
I know. I know. I'm just saying. I think that 2020 Alabama team with Mac Jones was, oh my goodness, they were so dominant, and there was in every game they played, there was never a shadow of a doubt that they were going to pull out a W. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's one of those, it's just, I don't think that, like I said, personally, I don't think Ohio State's that team. But I do know that CJ Stroud is a dog. Gotcha. And I think that is going to be one of the biggest things, like the connection between him and Chris Olave. Oh my goodness.
Olave is so good.
Olave
will be playing on Sundays for a long time.
Yes, Chris Olave, you know, barring any injury, I believe could be is a top 10 draft pick. Like, he's kind of shown what Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle all showed in college, and Justin Jefferson. And he's just been kind of balling out this entire season. He balled out last season. So I don't think there's any shadow of a doubt that that team is going to bring it to Michigan. Do I want them to win? Absolutely not. I don't like Ohio State. I think Ohio State.
Wolverines. I'm a Wolverine fan this weekend.
Absolutely. Go Wolverines. Let's go. Get the W. Bring the M. M Nation, baby. And
I just want to see someone different in the playoffs. So, yeah, I guess we'll all just root for Michigan.
Yeah. Again. It'd be really cool.
Even though I don't think it's going to happen. I just think Ohio is too good.
And who goes in? I don't know. Because, I mean, Notre Dame's 10-1. But the other side of it, the other side with Notre Dame is that they're not in a conference. They don't have a conference playoff.
They don't
conference
play championship anybody. Game. The one team they played beat them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cincinnati beat them.
So yeah. And it wasn't. It
sucks because
it USC wasn't even not close. Good
anymore. I don't even know if they played USC this year, but like a lot of the schools that they play perennially aren't any good anymore. Like, I think they should just do what they do with basketball and go play in the ACC, but that's honestly not much better than not having that conference because the ACC, ACC's bad again.
I mean, after Sam Howell just kind of dropped off the face of the earth at North Carolina and
Clemson decided
that Clemson just, let's say Clemson decided.
Oh, no,
Clemson has decided they've kind of forgotten how to play football since.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence left.
Well, it's hard to play when you lose the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah, literally the hairstyle.
If that man had brought
That's how Clemson portrayed Trevor Lawrence was the second coming of Jesus. So
I mean, in his defense, he did only lose two. He had only lost two football games from high school and all the way through college.
Which is that's just crazy. That's
unreal. Like that's.
And then he got coached by Dirty Herb. And now he's a loser.
Dirty Herb.
He has ruined. He's been bad. I know the Jaguars are bad, but he's been bad too. I don't know whether that's probably got some Urban Meyer to do with it. But
is he the next? Is he the new Johnny Manziel?
No.
No, I wouldn't go that far. Not yet. Not yet.
No, you got to give him more time.
Well, you think you give him three? If he doesn't produce in the next after this season, two more years. Is he the new Johnny Manziel?
I don't even know if you give – you got to give the man time to get out of Jacksonville first.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's going to be –
I think this is going to be – I mean, I know Wilson Sam –
too, being out of New York.
I know Sam Darnold started to suck, but those first three games when he got out of New York looked great. I think that's going to be the same situation with Trevor Lawrence, is that I don't think this situation in Jacksonville is going to work. I just
– Yeah, I
– A good situation for him.
I think Urban Meyer is the new Adam Gase. And just the way that he runs that offense is not it. It's just not it. And I feel bad because there's some really, really good players on that Jacksonville team. Like James Robinson was talked about to be in the offensive player of the year discussion last year.
I think you mean rookie of the year, but
offensive rookie of the year. I mean, he was one of the best running backs in the league last year, and nobody even saw it coming.
And they turn around and draft Etienne in the first round too. Like I did not understand the point of that draft. That was one of the worst picks they could have possibly made in that scenario. You either go get him a weapon or you get your offensive line some help, you get your defense some help. You did not need a running back in that situation.
No,
they also had Carlos Hyde too. Like then they brought in Carlos Hyde. Like, why'd you bring in Etienne in the first place? Like, I don't understand.
You're absolutely right. You have two running backs who are top tier running backs. I mean, Carlos Hyde, he's had his off years, but I mean, in every place that he's been, he has shown that he can be that guy, and that's the type of team I thought he was prospering pretty well down in Jacksonville. You know, him and Gardner Minshew, and the way that those three, James Robinson, Carlos Hyde, and Gardner Minshew all kind of worked well together, I just think it's them drafting Etienne was kind of a slap in the face to James Robinson and Carlos Hyde, who just worked their ass off for the past season. And
well, Hyde wasn't there the season before they brought him in. I think they might have brought him in. I think they brought him in after Etienne got hurt.
Okay, still, that's a slap in the face to James Robinson. Yeah. You know,
I don't disagree.
I think the Jags season went downhill when they cut Tim Tebow.
Of course,
well, yeah. That's when it went down the hill.
Okay, we have two minutes left in this Zoom. I'm going to pose a question. Do you think New York would have been a better fit for Trevor Lawrence?
The Jets or the Giants?
The Jets.
No.
No?
No. He would be worse off. Yeah. They wouldn't have won the game, I don't think.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I think the thing – okay, you got to think of it like this. Mike Smith, okay? Mike Smith and Trevor Lawrence are not too far off on the way that they play the sport of football.
Who the heck is Mike Smith?
Mike White.
Forgot the legend last name already.
I'm sorry. I'm
gonna have to cut your take off because we got to do a new Zoom meeting. So
all right, we'll put it.
Is there a way that we would like be able to piece this together? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
We're good at this stuff. All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right.
Okay. Well, Aaron is going to be muted here for a second. Riley, we talked a little bit Ohio State, Michigan. Do you think is there any chance Auburn beats Alabama?
Crazier things have happened in the Iron Bowl. I mean, let's be honest. Like the kick six. I mean, that was a. That was one thing I don't think any of us – I remember watching that when I was a kid and never expecting anything like that to happen.
We don't talk about that day.
Well, you want to trigger Aaron. You talk about that moment.
Well, we also got to remember when Cam Newton led the charge back. I mean, they were down by, like, what, a couple scores, and they hadn't scored at all.
They were down two touchdowns. I distinctly remember watching that game.
Yeah, that was that's when Cam became the Heisman favorite. I mean, he was already looking really good, but like that solidified him and sent him to another level. I really don't know. I mean, this Auburn team is very, very like streaky for me. I mean,
Bo Nix is not steady enough for me and consistent.
No.
I think that the way that he plays, he forces a lot of passes, and that Alabama defense, I think, is just going to tear them up.
Yeah.
Bryce, I mean,
Bryce Young and Jameson Williams, that connection is as good as you're going to get in all of college football.
Well, I mean, let's just go back to the A&M and Auburn game. I mean, Auburn had Auburn and A&M are like really close going into midway, through the third quarter or the fourth quarter, and then Bo Nix fumbled the ball while he was trying to throw, and that just completely changed everything. And then, like you said, Aaron, he's trying to force passes against A&M, and he was making mistakes. I mean, that the same mistakes making them against Alabama, who always has a top recruiting class for defense, it's not gonna work well at all.
Something to branch off of that is, I mean, they're sitting fifth in the SEC right now, and I mean, that's not. Nothing to slouch at. I mean, they're still Auburn, but I mean, they're 6-5. They're 3-4 in conference. And they're currently on a 3-game losing streak. And I mean, I get it. Like playing at Auburn is not easy, but
this isn't the same
Auburn. It's not the same Auburn. And I think that definitely for sure. Coach Nick Saban has learned from the kick six, but like that Auburn team that they played in that game is not this Auburn team. Like, Bo Nix is just, he's not the guy. And maybe he's going to prosper in the NFL if he goes to the NFL, but he's not that guy.
I just honestly, I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, It's the Iron Bowl. It's going to be close. It just really depends on what Bo Nix you get. And if he doesn't play well, they might bench him in the first half. I mean, they've done it before.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I mean, and the other thing is Nick Saban better get it across that his guys need to be locked in on this game and they cannot overlook it, because I think a lot of teams, when they get into positions like Alabama, when they go up against like a team like Auburn is, they're 6-5. I mean, you cannot overlook them because Auburn's going to give everything that they've got. I mean, naturally any team against Alabama would, but if Alabama loses, like we were talking about earlier, they're out of the playoffs. So they're
gone.
Game. So,
yeah. But there's even bigger games this week as well. And, you know, they're quite possibly everyone's favorite games of the year. We've got Thanksgiving football. And the greatest thing about Thanksgiving football is you get to see either someone beat the hell out of the Lions, someone beat the hell out of the Cowboys. This year, I don't know.
I think it's going to lean towards more as somebody beating the hell out of the Lions.
Hey, I mean, you know what? I am very thankful each year that I get to sit and watch America's team, the Detroit Lions, get destroyed. I mean, it's my favorite thing ever.
Hey, Goff might play. I think that makes a huge difference. I think that makes a huge difference in this game if Goff plays. So I'm sorry, Tim Boyle is not the answer.
No.
The Detroit Lions are not the answer. I mean, let's be honest. Right.
I'm just thankful this isn't Lions and Packers, so this wasn't a for sure massacre.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Andy Dalton, you said it earlier, right? Andy Dalton is playing.
I don't think I said it on recorded, but yeah, Andy Dalton's playing. Justin Fields has been ruled out. Allen Robinson's out. So
the Red Rocket will ride again. Let's go, baby. Come on.
So just for all the listeners or viewers or however you're watching this tonight, you know, when we put this out, there's three Thanksgiving Day games, and we've got the Chicago Bears playing at Ford Field in Detroit against the Lions. The Raiders are in Texas, in Dallas to play the Cowboys, and then the Bills are headed to New Orleans to take on the Saints. And I mean, I personally think this could be the game that the Lions need to get their first dub of the season. And I know I said it last week, and
he's been saying it for 3 weeks now.
But you know what? I'm a Packers fan. I'm a Packers fan through and through, but it's hard not to root for a team that is just as shitty as the Lions are now.
Well, you know, maybe they would stand a chance if they didn't trade Matthew Stafford for quite possibly the biggest bust in the history of the NFL draft.
Oh, easy.
Wow.
Easy.
Wow.
Goff hasn't even come close.
Hear me out. Right. I loved Carson Wentz. I loved Wentz coming out of college. I honestly thought Wentz should have gone first.
You can't say Carson Wentz is a bust.
Wentz, no, I wasn't talking about Wentz. I'm talking about Goff.
I know, but you brought up Wentz like he was a bust. You just
said Wentz, and
because he was second overall in that draft. Because he was second overall in that draft. That's the only reason I'm saying that. Don't get it twisted. I mean,
all right, I guess we'll let him slide on this one because he's trying to say that Carson Wentz should have been number one. But yes, okay. He should have been.
Yes, Wentz should have been the number one pick in that draft.
Yeah.
But people were hesitant of the man who wins national championships, Carson Wentz, over Jared Goff. I'll take the guy who won a little bit. And honestly, if it's not for Dak, does Carson Wentz wins comeback player of the year, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's a lock that it's Dak.
Yeah.
Oh, it's because all Dak had to do was play.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same situation in the NBA. Klay Thompson's the comeback player of the year, even if only plays like five games.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, but I think if Goff plays, I think the Lions have a chance. I think they have a good chance. Andy Dalton hasn't been in for a while. Like, yes, it's still Andy Dalton. Yes, he's still a really good quarterback, but those receivers have started to get used to the way that Justin Fields has played. And now they have to flip a switch off and turn a different switch back on to remember the ways that of Andy Dalton.
The good thing is for Chicago, though, Andy Dalton finished that game. Like Andy Dalton, played, I think Dalton well. Played. I think he played probably at least the most of the second half.
Well, he played pretty good. I mean, yeah. He kept him in it.
He completed a couple. They had a couple bomb touchdowns in that game. One, I think Fields threw the one to Mooney, and Dalton threw the one to Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah,
I mean, think that was their game right there was two gigantic plays, but outside of that, then they were bad.
Yeah.
But the spreads, yeah. I think the spread's indicative of Goff's playing because it's only 3 points.
Yeah.
Like, if that's Boyle, I know Chicago's been bad, but that's at least 5.5 or 6.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, he was bad. I think that also points out to how bad the Cleveland Browns are. They'll have to beat that team by 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cleveland, ugh.
And hey, who knows? This might be a big game for Matt Nagy.
Nope.
Maybe.
Not going to count on it. Not going to count on it. I'm going to go out and say this right now. The Detroit Lions will get their first win because I think Matt Nagy, like, we don't know what situation is going on there because was he fired? Was he not fired? Is this his last game?
They're saying that there's rumors that this could be Nagy's last game. But there's also rumors that somebody came out and were like, oh, he's not getting fired after the Thanksgiving game. But I don't know. I mean, the only person who knows is the guy who owns the damn team and the general manager and things. I'm going to personally take Detroit on this. I think that this is their time and they're going to pull out the W.
God, I don't want to pick it. I don't want to pick a team that got a win. It's just there's just a thing about picking a team that's 0-9-1. And their one is a
tie. You're just playing with house money.
They are playing with house money.
The house money.
The problem is,
I know. I mean,
the house isn't very like they're bad. Like
they are very bad.
They are very bad.
They're trash.
I mean, but the Bears aren't very good either.
It's a dumpster fire game.
But I think the first thing the Bears go do is get a wide receiver for Fields next year.
Agreed.
I think that's a big thing. That'll be one.
I think they might. Depending on where they are in the draft,
I think they could marry Olave back with Fields. I think
that's exactly what I was going to say. I think that depending on where they end up in the draft and where Olave is projected, they could.
I don't think it matters. It was kind of the whole Ja'Marr Chase thing with Joe Burrow. Like, that should have been Penei Sewell.
I think they need to get
Cincinnati.
I think they need to get a.
Thank God Ja'Marr Chase isn't a Lion.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yikes.
It would be terrible because
I honestly think
Jones is the rookie of the year. So,
but let's go, Ja'Marr Chase, baby.
Let's go. You're welcome.
So what do we think? I mean, I think then we've got Raiders and Cowboys.
Okay, there's 3 games. Predict the score.
Predict the score.
Oh yeah, I'm going here.
Okay.
There's only picking 3 games in this episode, so we might as well pick the score, too.
For sure. I mean, I think Detroit and Chicago is going to be a rather low-scoring game. So I'm going to say 28-21 Detroit.
28-21.
I'm going to pick.
I think that's the over on that, too.
Is it?
I'm going to.
I think so. Hold on.
Oh.
The over-under is 41.5. I was going I'm thinking like a 24-17, 24-20 type win. And I'm taking Chicago.
I don't think either team
gets to 20. One. You can't.
I honestly don't. I if any team gets to 20, it's going to be the team that wins. I'm going to take 20-14 Lions.
Okay, I'm going 24-20 Chicago. Okay.
But,
all right.
24-20 Chicago. Okay. And Riley, what was yours on that?
He said
22-14.
20-14.
Okay, big news for this next game. CeeDee Lamb is on track to play.
Ooh. That's a game changer.
That was was not supposed to happen because of that came 5 hours ago from ESPN.
Okay. So, well, that makes a little bit of a difference.
Because that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is Dax. I would say Dax number one target.
Well, I think even with Cooper, he is.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. The way that CeeDee Lamb gets away from defenders, and the way the incredible catches that he makes is, I mean, I don't think there's even a doubt in anybody's mind.
Dallas is going to cook this secondary.
And I feel so, like, I really do feel really bad for the Raiders because, like, ever since Henry Ruggs, you know, did what he did.
And John Gruden.
And John Gruden. Like,
how do you expect the team to bounce back from all that?
You can't. Like, you really can't. You took away the number one receiver and your head coach.
And also, you know what you do. And also one of their number one, one of their top corners, too.
Yeah, like
Arnett, Arnett in the videos pointing a gun at a camera and threatening people. Yeah, you can't exactly do that. That is slightly frowned upon.
No.
And that was their two first round picks from last year.
Honestly,
both of them. All that draft.
If you're me, I would if I were the Raiders, to get some motivation, I would sit down and watch the John Madden documentary on Fox during Christmas time, and think of the old soul of John Madden and how he brought prosperity to the Raiders, and then think, hey, let's do that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's any hope for the Raiders this season.
I'd be interested to see who they hire as a head coach next year.
That would be interesting. Maybe Harbaugh comes. Shut up.
No. I mean, Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for Buffalo, is the first guy who popped in my head.
Eric Bieniemy pops into my head.
I don't think Bieniemy goes in division.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
No, I don't.
I
think that's a perfect. I think you put Brian Daboll with you. I'm sorry, my little sister is screaming in the background. I don't know if you can hear that.
Come on, Dakota. Come on.
Sorry, I don't have control of that. No, I think you pair Brian Daboll with Derek Carr. I mean, we saw what Brian Daboll did with Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
He's a top five quarterback in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
He's pretty good.
So I think that only makes Carr better. And
you put
Carr in a better offense. They go out and get a wide receiver. You're gonna have to. Darren Waller can't do it himself.
No.
I love
Darren Waller. You gotta go get a wide receiver that's not gonna go to prison.
Yes. Preferably a wide
receiver. I'm sorry. I know it's still pretty soon, but like I had to crack the joke.
Hey, take it from a Patriots fan who has seen a tight end come and go.
You really saw him coming.
All I gotta say is that, you know, make sure your guys are doing the right thing, and then, you know, compete for a championship. I mean, come on.
R.I.P. Aaron Hernandez. I feel like this is gonna be a unanimous pick here. I'm definitely taking the Cowboys, and I think the Cowboys win this in tremendous fashion. I'm saying 42-14.
Cowboys. I thought I was gonna go. I thought I was gonna jump on the Dallas train, but 31-21 Dallas.
31-21. I'm gonna keep it a little closer. I think Cowboys will win. It just depends on what type of defense you see from them. I mean, they've given up some high scoring numbers. It just depends on what you get. I'm going to take 35-28 Dallas.
By the way, that gap significantly shrinks if CeeDee Lamb doesn't play.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It does.
I think you could subtract a touchdown off my score if CeeDee Lamb doesn't play.
I agree.
I think it's a much closer game. I think CeeDee Lamb's that important.
Well, yeah. We've got one more game to talk about, and this could go either way. Truthfully, you've got the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen taking on the New Orleans Saints without Alvin Kamara, without Jameis Winston. And I don't know, man. The Bills have not looked like the Bills that they were when the season started.
Somebody is very happy
about it. They have not.
Oh, my God. But the season's very
fun. Patriots later this week.
I'm not saying the word. We're not talking about it right now.
I'm just saying, Riley, don't forget there is still a lot of football to play.
I know. Yeah. You're right.
So, I mean, it just was it today that it came out that Kamara's not playing?
Yeah, like, it came out this afternoon. Kamara's not playing. Kamara didn't practice on Tuesday, or Ingram didn't practice on Tuesday.
Like, that's a heavy hitter. Like, yeah. Mark Ingram.
So they need Ingram to play.
Yes, Ingram playing gives them a chance to win. Ingram not playing, I think there's not even.
Then you're down to like, I think I read it was like Tony Jones or something, and
Taysom Hill. Washington put Taysom Hill back there.
Oh, that's
you can put Taysom back there.
That's a concept.
Yeah, but if you put Taysom Hill back there, then you take him out of the chance of having him to throw to.
But like, if you do like some, you can do some trick plays. I don't know.
Do we see Taysom at quarterback? If Buffalo jumps on them two touchdowns, do we see Taysom Hill at quarterback?
I would not be shocked.
I think we do. Yeah.
Also,
Sean Payne will do whatever it takes. I think Sean Payne does whatever it takes for
them. Yeah. And I mean,
to all the people out there,
obviously Kamara kills him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed. To all the people out there who hate on Taysom Hill, shut up, because Taysom Hill is actually a pretty good quarterback. Let that man live his life.
Hate Taysom Hill. I just hate the way they use Taysom Hill.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, just
let the man play quarterback.
Let him play quarterback. Stop trying to use him as a tight end or running back and a wide receiver. Let the poor man play quarterback.
They didn't do that to Lamar Jackson.
I want to see how Josh Allen responds this week. You know, this is a big week. I mean, we talk about games where teams come in to find themselves again. Diggs and Josh Allen and that whole defense is going to need a revitalization, because going into the last part of the year, they got a lot of tough games coming up. So if they want to figure out what they were doing wrong and right these wrongs, this is the week to do it. Because we all know what Josh Allen's capable of. I mean, he's capable of being a top five, top three quarterback, I would argue. I mean, he's talented, and it would be interesting to see how he responds this week. Because after this week, they play the Patriots, and that's a great defense that you have on the other side. But what I'm saying is that this week, figure it out so then you can get prepared going down the stretch and getting into some AFC East games where they need the wins.
Absolutely.
Because they're currently second in the division.
He likes the sound of that. He just had to say that. He just wanted to say that because the Patriots are the number one team in the division.
That's true.
Hey, the fun thing for us is all of our teams are at the top of their divisions.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we find from our favorite teams going down the stretch.
I just think it's funny that I'm the only NFC team, you know, here between the three of us.
Could you imagine this podcast if the Patriots and the Chiefs somehow met in the playoffs?
I would love that.
Honestly, we might have, if that happens, might just have to have an episode, a just special edition episode just about that game.
I don't think you're wrong.
So. We could wear our jerseys, right, Dakota.
Yeah, we're all my Mahomes gear.
All right, time to make the pick. Riley, you go first.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Bills. I think they'll win it pretty handily. I think it'll be 41-17. I think they'll take care of business. This is a good Buffalo team, and they need to find their groove again. And they're looking. I mean, they're gonna prove to everybody that they're still one of the threats to make it out of the AFC. And I think Josh Allen is ready to go. I'm excited for it. I like Josh Allen. I think it'll be a good game.
Highest scoring game of the day. 34-28 Buffalo.
34-28 Buffalo. Wow.
I like this game. I like this game a lot. This should be the best game of the day. I mean, obviously,
I agree.
Flex it to Sunday night because it should be the best game of the day, and I think it will.
I agree. Yeah. I'm going to also take the Bills, and I'm thinking, this one's tough, but I'm going to say I'm so torn here.
Oh.
I don't know what I want this score to be, because I don't want to say that it's going to be an absolute shit show and they're just going to come out and absolute dick down the Saints, because I don't think that's going to happen. But I also don't think it's going to be that close either.
I think playing in the Superdome helps them a lot. But I think bringing Buffalo inside will help them a lot too. By the way, Buffalo has this guy. Don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Stephon Diggs. He has a track record for, you know, burning the Saints. In case you don't remember what Stephon Diggs did to New Orleans, because I know New Orleans hasn't forgotten.
I want to see New Orleans boo him so badly. Like, I just, it's going to be great.
Guaranteed.
Let me reiterate the worst broadcaster in the world. Diggs, sideline, touchdown.
Are you talking about Joe Buck?
Yes, I hate Joe Buck. I hate that man so much. I'm sorry. Oh my,
terrible.
They ruin sports for me. So, I'm gonna go.
Okay, I'll let you pick your score. Then I'm gonna pose something.
I'm saying 35. 35-21.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, since we're not going to do a hot take, I want your Thanksgiving MVP. The best player in the three Thanksgiving games will be who?
Dak Prescott.
Okay.
I can't pick the same thing as Riley.
I got mine, so I'll go next if you want me to.
Okay.
I didn't mention him for no reason, minus Stephon Diggs.
I think if CeeDee Lamb plays, CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
If not, Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper's out because of COVID.
Mm.
That's right. Shit.
Zeke.
I mean, if neither of them play, then yeah, it's gotta be Zeke.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't hate that at all.
Part of me was like, oh, Jared Goff, but I'm like, I can't. I just can't. I can't. I want to. You know what? Screw it. Underdog mentality. Jared Goff is MVP of Thanksgiving.
Oh. Do you remember the last time he tried to predict a Jared Goff stat line? I'm pretty sure the last time you predicted a Jared Goff stat line, they got killed by Philadelphia. Or no, yeah. That was when they played.
No.
That was when they played Pittsburgh, and you said he was going to throw for like 250 and three TDs, and the man threw for like under 100 yards. So
he did throw under 100 yards
and a couple.
He did. You know what? I don't care. Jared Goff MVP of Thanksgiving.
Aaron is ride or dying with Jared Goff.
I never thought I'd ever have to do that, but you know what? Here we are.
I was ride or dying in the Super Bowl against the Patriots with Jared Goff. I learned my lesson then.
Yeah, touche, touche. Well,
expect anything.
I shouldn't have.
I think. Is there anything else? Are we good?
I'm good.
Nope. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Enjoy that turkey.
Yeah. Hey. Well, for once again, I'm your host Aaron Lewis, and alongside me is Dakota Smith and Riley Funk, and that's all we got for this episode. We are planning on recording again on Friday, which would be Black Friday. So, and we'll have our normal
rotation of things. NFL programming.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, thank you again, guys, for listening in, and happy Thanksgiving, and have a great time with all your family. Once again, you're listening to the Notorious RAD. Peace. We out.